Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Health Blast Radio. Thank you so much for joining us. This is Dr. Jeanette Gallagher of Alternative Medicine and Wellness Radio. It is going to be a great year, 2015. We are going to have several of our guests who are inspirational, telling their stories, sharing a lot of their tips about how to live a holistic life and love it. We all have all kinds of challenges these days, and we say we'll try things, we don't get the greatest results, or sometimes it's just mediocre. But we're going to learn to love a holistic life. Isn't that great? We're going to learn that it's great to get up in the morning. It's fabulous if it rains, and it's absolutely incredible that we have these challenges and all of the things we can learn from that. And isn't life just a roller coaster? So thank you so much for joining us. Please check us out on Health Blast Radio on Facebook and also Health Blast 2015 on Twitter. Also, our website, drjeanettegallagher.com, for more information. We also have a women over the age of 50 group starting February 1st, which will be sharing a lot of information about how to help us and ourselves. As we are women, we are also caregivers. We are also part of this world that will be bringing more compassion and empathy towards others. Please do join, and please do check it out on our website, Dr. Jeanette Gallagher. And now, back to the show. Thank you so much for joining us today. This is Dr. Jeanette, and it's a pleasure to have you with us. We're going to be talking about, excuse me, men today. You know, we always say we can't live without them, but, you know, we can't live with them either. And it's really been a really challenge, I think, for a lot of people, myself included. We'll all raise our hand here, that, you know, be able to find, you know, that person that you enjoy every single day with, or, you know, even in the silence, you're enjoying them also. I really think it's a process where we're going through life and we're really just finding out about who we are and who other people are. My guest today is Morgan, Morgan Rose. She is the author of Becoming Not a Bimbo, The Smart Woman's Guide to Finding Her Prince Without Ever Kissing Another Frog. Well, I don't know. Frogs must reproduce in some people's lives, and that's probably mine. So, Morgan, thank you so much for joining us today. It's a pleasure to have you with us.
Oh, thank you for the opportunity, Jeanette. I'm really looking forward to this.
You know, don't you think that, you know, it's all just process, it's life, and it's up and it's down, and I'm not so sure I would be so interested if life was just regular.
Yes, well, it could be boring. I also think, though, that when we're talking about our biological need to love and be loved, to bond with others, that if we are unable to find that safe person that we can trust with our truth and our tears, it can be very lonely because we biologically feel empty when we're not bonded. However, in the world that we live in today, bonding with the wrong person, the broken person, can be not just disheartening, but sometimes dangerous. So we, as women, need to really love ourselves first. And as I talk about in the book, shift our question from "Will he like me?" to "Is he worthy of me?" And that is a process I take women through in the book and in my counseling, to become so in love with who you are and raise the bar on your relationships because you know you are worthy of someone that has so far eluded you because you haven't realized how incredibly worthy and wonderful you are. And that's what I do with women, raise that bar.
And I think so, too. A lot of times, if you look back on the 50s and 60s when so many of us grew up, really, people were not taught that. There's, we can look at our elders, and they will go to their grave with their issues because they met someone, they stayed with them, and that was the way it was. Or they went through life, and they would have someone, then they got rid of them, and then they'd be by themselves. So a lot of people really have not been open to the idea of being able to actually even look at themselves and say, do I even like myself, you know? And you know, I think there's a lot of people 50 and over who are going to the grave with that and saying, I don't get it. I don't know what you're talking about. It doesn't fit for me. And, you know, hey, I'll get it in the next life.
Right. Right. No doubt. Certainly in that era, we were not looking at the worthiness of women. And women were at that point still very dependent on men just financially because we weren't as educated as we have become now for so many of us. And that's a real key to knowing you have the power, is to be able to support yourself and feel like it takes a mighty fine man to beat no man at all to get to that point where you are complete in yourself, and then you can, without being desperate, go search for the one who agrees with you that you are very worthy of love.
And it depends, I think, too. Sometimes, you know, people are now they're saying there's a lot of divorce in the world, and I don't think that's necessarily a bad thing either, because even since the internet came up, a lot more divorce, if you look at the statistics, it has been rising. And is it because we're keeping better records? Is it because, you know, more people are talking about it or what? And I really think it is, as you've said, you know, women are starting to learn, you know, they don't have to listen to everything everyone else says. They don't have to be that subservient person. They're learning that there's a lot more educated women that they can study from. And I think that's so important to be able to say, hey, you know, what he's not the God Almighty that I thought he was, you know. Maybe I might know something differently. And then when you try to interact or you know, even bring your own level back up a little bit around some of these men, it's time to just kick them to the curb. And it's like, you know, many of them are not interested. You know, they've been living in that pattern for many decades and they're just staying there. And when one of the partners tries to start to better themselves, it really does cause conflict. And, you know, hey, if that's what it has to be, that's what it has to be.
Yes. And, my research, I spent 13 years researching for my book on the soul science and psychology of intimacy. And what the neuroscience has now proven, the male brain and female brain are two different entities. And Mother Nature set that up in order to ensure the survival of our species. That was her commitment and intention all along. So the female brain is in the general population, we all have stories of other people that will not fit what I'm about to say, but in the general population of humanity, the female brain is a much more efficient brain. It is geared primarily for emotion, feeling, and connection because we are the ones who have protected the infants that will continue the cycle of life. And our brain has two hemispheres, and connecting those two hemispheres is something called the corpus callosum. And that is what has all the wiring to connect the two sides, the logical thinking, more male-oriented left part of the brain, and the right intuitive, feeling, emotional right brain. Well, we now know that the corpus callosum in the female brain has billions more connections than the male, which is, I think, why so often we women, you know, I've in my past dated men that were so black and white thinking, so logical, so beyond understanding what their emotional life would be. I swore they went home at night and slept with a brace to bring their head up 90 degrees to their shoulders because it was so heavily weighted on the left-hand side, they couldn't possibly keep it that way. So,
right.
But that's the way we're set up. And what my research has also shown is how Mother Nature set it up that our eye of infancy brain, because we all are born, female, male, doesn't matter, we're all born with that narcissistic eye of infancy. That's all we can possibly know is our little selves. But how that baby brain goes from the I of infancy into the I and thou of relationship is in the hands of our primary love, and that, especially for little boys, is mommy.
Mm-hmm.
And when that little baby boy brain has a really happy dance with mommy, then the brain starts making the connections, the wiring, to shift it from that eye of infancy to the relationship-oriented, happy-to-embrace-intimacy kind of brain, which we find so few men are capable of that. It's what I call the unbonded brain. And when we're dating and considering falling in love and all of that, there are ways to tell the traits of the unbonded brain in a male. And often it's the narcissistic, commitment phobic, sociopathic personalities that show up with the unbonded brain because they didn't have the first love, their first love, which is mommy, really show up to show the little brain what love feels like. And the door to that shift changes at around the third year when we start getting language. That feeling part of the brain is now going to close the door, basically, and it's the hard drive of the brain. But we're not aware of it pretty much after 3-4 years of age. But how our mommies, for little boys, how mommy programmed that brain to either fear or embrace intimacy will be with that man for the rest of his life. And
you know, I've also seen, too, you know, men that don't have children or men that have not committed, you know, until maybe later in life or maybe not at all, I really find that they're saying, oh, they can be compassionate, they can be very nurturing to children. And more often than not, that's really not the case because they've stayed away from it for so long for a specific reason, you know. It may appear, you know, I think on the surface as though they're loving, caring, you know, maybe two children that are in their lives, but really with that deep, deep connection that really doesn't happen so often, and it's just like it gets glaring. It'll just show up so many obscure places that you go, ooh, what was that?
Yes, exactly. And the taking it to the level of intimacy with a woman is a whole different ballgame, again, because it brings up the fear of what happened early in life with mommy, that programming. And, you know, commitment phobic and the narcissistic men will come on so strong because biologically they need to bond. I mean, that's something we don't get a choice on. But then when it starts getting towards commitment and intimacy, they turn and run because of the fear that comes up of what happened in their first love and what women represent to them.
It is a tough thing, I'll tell you. And we have to, you know, I think sometimes women are sometimes all giving and men are all confusing. You know, if we really look at it in that simple context, we say, okay, we're always giving, sort of like we're always touching, feeling, sticking our fingers in the fire. Let's see what that one looks like, you know. How can I maneuver around that one, you know, and do I want it and do I not? But then you really have to do a lot of probing, and I think sometimes that leads us down relationships that may or may not be well suited for us because you're sticking your finger in the fire and you said, oh, that sounds good, that smells good, that tastes good, maybe I'll try it. And that's, I think, where we see so many decades of lost relationships with women.
That is exactly why I wrote my book, because I was that woman. I did not have wisdom when I was choosing life partners. I was, like my book says, I was a certifiable bimbo. I made bimbo choices that took me from me being a multi-million dollar father's daughter of my father, who left me so much money, to marrying a con man who in 13 mm-hmm. years spent it all. And I woke up penniless without enough education to support myself, three sons, and never had called upon my power. I had never even thought of myself as a powerful woman or having wisdom or courage. And I got burst by fire into the reality of grown-up life and what my choices had done to my life and my children's life. And about the time I was starting to realize this, that he had taken everything, my oldest son, who had been a world-class athlete at the age of 13 and was being groomed for the Olympics at 17, took a racing dive, hit a sandbar, broke his neck, and became C5 quadriplegic. Well, wow. I stepped up to the plate. I found out the courage within me that I had never called on before, and my life has never been the same. And now I'm bringing that to other women to claim. You already have all the courage. Claim it, own it, stand in it. You have intuitive wisdom that scares men to death. That's why they've tried to silence us for thousands of years.
Right.
They don't understand, and so the fear takes it to really serious consequences sometimes. But I have a chapter in my book, because I'm all about knowledge is power, and knowledge when you're considering love especially is important. And there's a whole chapter in my book on reading handwriting, graphology. That chapter teaches we women the seven danger signs that you can see in 30 seconds in a man's handwriting. So you might not be able to tell how he treats his mother or something like that, but you can see pathology in 30 seconds in his handwriting. And that's what that chapter's about. So that is one real key way to keeping yourself out of trouble, what I call in the book. Not only is he not worthy of walking you down the aisle, he's not even worthy of walking you to your car.
Yeah, and you know what, though? They've gotten so good, and I can honestly say women have done it and men. I leave no one out of this, but we've all gotten great at creating that which presence we want other people to see. You know, in your book you talk about mirror, mirror on the wall, and we're talking about how we want to be presented, you know, out in this lifetime. When we're presented out in that lifetime, that's really all about our mask that we wear or that which we choose to show others, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, and it takes a long time to get through that, to be able to say, you know, what is the truth anymore?
Right. Right. The authentic you. I do have a lot of journaling questions in my book, because what is hidden can't be healed. What is revealed can be healed. And journaling is so key to the journey, because you're bringing out those secrets that really are hindering your progress as a woman. You're putting them on paper. And when you put them out of yourself into the world, and you can read them and go back and read them and write your answers and rewrite, you are on that journey of becoming more authentic than you ever thought you could be. So I know journaling is so miraculously revealing and getting women to start standing in how worthy they are. And they're not going to compromise. You know, when we settle in love, we sell out our soul, and at some point we know deep down we have sold out our soul. So I'm really focused on women not doing that anymore, but, you know, setting their bar high, claiming who they are and how worthy they are, and then looking, if they're interested in relationship, to look for that man who believes everything I just said about them. And there are men out there.
But sometimes, too, I find a lot of women have really taken on the male role, and you have issues just the same, you know. I've even spoken to some where the women tended to be the pants in the family type person. And then when the male is trying to empower themselves and say, no, I'm tired of this, this is what I want going forward, that causes all kinds of havoc, too.
Yes, because you've upset the balance of power there.
Right.
So, because men and women, like you're saying, can get very comfortable in that, what I call, alpha role in the relationship. And it works sometimes. You know, some men don't need that, but then other men, maybe in their waking up, are, like you're saying, wait a minute, I want an egalitarian, equal, respectful relationship. And that's on the woman to say, yes or, you know, no, depending on how evolved she is.
And, you know, and I also think so, too, that the world has changed so drastically in the past, I would say, 10 years, and even more so, even faster in the past 2 to 3. And if we can continue at this pace, I think really and people will say, well, I'm going to be with this person because, you know, forever, and they're in their 20s and 30s. And I would really challenge them to say, don't worry about it. Just, you know, do your best for today, because the world is changing so fast. Potentially, we will all be changing into someone or something else in the next 5 to 10 years again, and looking at life differently. So, in other words, what you and I are saying today is not golden for the next 5 to 10 years, it's just golden for this moment and how we've come this far, and we're reflecting back.
Absolutely. And thank you, because this moment is all we have.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know. I mean, it's like when my son was injured so catastrophically, I could have never dreamt of that. We don't know. And when our focus is taking care of us, loving ourselves, nurturing ourselves, that carries us from moment to moment. We can, if a man is breaking our heart, we can keep our dignity in that moment and then cry later if we need to. But in that moment, we are in touch with who we are. And that carries you through life. That knowing that has changed my life 120%.
The idea of forever, I just think, you know, forever is today. You know, it can't go any farther than that. We can't think any farther than that, because it will seriously pull you down, because every day you'll just be trying to go to that quest of keeping it perfect that, you know, the past story was written. In other words, if it changes today, look at what's changing today, instead of reflecting back and trying to make today like yesterday. We want to make today like today, you know, and just be there, because there's nothing else you can do, really.
No, we have no power other than ourselves in this moment. So,
yeah,
we're on the right
track. So many people, you know, are so unaware of that. I've heard a lot of people say recently. In fact, a woman had said to me one day, I said to her, what was I doing? I was asking her about her health. And then she says, well, you know, I've gained, you know, 5 more pounds. And she weighs 105, okay? I've gained 5 more pounds, but, you know, I'm married and you know, I don't ever have to worry about that anymore. And I'm going, what? You know, things like that. Or she would say, another person would say to me, thank goodness that I'm married so that someone could take care of me when I get sick. It's almost like so they're already telling you that they're going to get sick and they're going to need care, and they're expecting that person to do it, you know? And it's sort of like, have we looked to our words more and say, have we really already set ourselves up for the fall, or set ourselves up for the change?
Oh, absolutely. I even had a friend, while I was writing my book, worried about me because I was single at the time. And she said, but who's going to drive to the drugstore when you're invalid and you need, you know, your medication?
Oh,
and I looked at her, I said, do you really think where I am in my journey right now that that is my priority? That would be a no. I love my life now, and I do have a sweetheart, but I ask every day, is he worthy of me? So far, I have to say yes, but there may come a time when I'll have to say no, he's not treating me in the way that I love myself. And that's another piece to this is when women say, we love you, I love you, we are coming from a very deep biological place of that bonding. We don't know what men mean when they say, I love you. They can come on like a love tsunami when you first meet them, you know, with the flowers and the text messages and the whining and the dining and all of that. And you think, I've never been loved like this before. And the minute you turn and say, you know, I do love you too, you're coming from your perspective. That was not his perspective. And he, if he's a commitment phobic or narcissist, he, as soon as you say, I love you, is when he leaves you. There, it's very easy to say, I love you. And I find, especially for men, because they do want that relationship, but when they have it, it so scares them because, again, you're bringing up that early programming, and they turn on their heels and they're gone, and you're there left devastated because you've trusted that he meant what he said and that you opened your heart and invited him in, and he's rejecting that invitation.
Let's talk a little bit about the ones that don't commit and these couples that are living together, or couples that are just, they say, well, we're just growing together for the moment. And, you know, you look at them and they say, well, we're just having fun for today. We're good to go. But in some factors, really, if one of the people in that relationship is really looking for a commitment, is really looking to just, you know, as we would say, lay themselves bare. I think that's always the issue in the relationships. And it's sort of like, well, what are you waiting for? Is that piece of paper what you need to be able to be in that type relationship? Or can you both have it without marriage or commitment?
Oh, definitely you can have it without that. In fact, I think as women come into their older years, why bother getting married? Because if it doesn't work out, the hell of going through a divorce is not worth it. If there, you know, several of my clients have reached that point of, I don't want children. I want to wake up every morning and look at his face and say, I want to be with you today. And it's a beautiful dance of that kind of relationship. I have seen it work. And then again, I've seen it, you know, come to a point, no, I don't want to be with you today. I don't think I'm, you know, going to stay in your life anymore. But you have that freedom to do that because you don't have that legal piece. Having children is a whole other story because of what they need to feel secure with parents and, you know, a family structure that's really secure and consistent and predictable. But for the women who are getting up into the years, several of my clients, like I said, have said no, not interested in marriage, definitely interested in love, as long as I feel respected and cherished.
And it's a tough place to be, too, because everybody's in different places at different times, don't you think?
Oh, yes. Very hard to get in sync. But that's the dance of love, you know, to if you're two people with integrity and you can trust what each other says to be the truth, then you're there. When one's down, the other one comes along, and then it's reciprocal. And it's a beautiful dance. It's a beautiful dance. But we women have to really know what lies beneath that tip of the iceberg that so many men are willing to show us, but not what's underneath. And that's what I'm about, teaching us how to know the traits of a narcissist, a commitment phobe, a sociopath, all of that. You can see them right at the beginning. They're giving hints all along the way. If you know what to look for, you're going to keep yourself safe and bypass that frog. And if you're looking for a prince, then spend your time finding him and stop wasting your time kissing frogs.
So let's talk about one or two topics. What would be, in a narcissist, what would you see right off the bat that you would like, you should be running in the other direction?
Well, a healthy man ready for intimacy and one that isn't will both show up as the man who's craving intimacy. And
mm-hmm.
you can't tell one from the other unless you know what to look for. The narcissist is going to monopolize the conversation on the first date. He may have been taught, well, you need to ask her a question or two along the way. But
right.
when you answer it, he'll turn it right back to himself. He only knows what is about him. And he's not going to be that interested other than to win another date or sexual favors from you by doing what he thinks you expect him to do in order for him to get to that place he's trying to get to. The conscious man, the evolved man, the one whose brain is ready and eager to embrace intimacy. When I say intimacy, I mean emotional intimacy. He'll just feel healthier, not on the first date, because again, they're all saying the right things on the first date. But you'll
right.
watch him over time, and he's just, you know, he's not yelling at people when he's driving. And he's courteous to the waitress. And all these kinds of things that you need to be noting to tell what is the measure of this man. What lies beneath that tip of the iceberg? And that's our job. That is in our hands, women, to be wise about who we invite to love. And 'cause they're not going to tell us. They're not going to
yeah.
tell us. We have
and
to
you know what I think
it's
really important with this yelling situation. Sometimes women say he's yelling because he's powerful or, you know, he is demanding and that looks like power to me. And some women, you know, gravitate towards that. But then others will say, that sounds great and he's taking care of me by yelling at somebody to bring something to me. And when you really turn those around, you know, that's really abuse in another form. Or it could also enlighten in yourself. Have you yourself been abused in the past and you feel comforted in that type situation? And a lot of people go, oh, wait, whatever. I don't know what you're talking about. And they'll go running the other way because they really don't want to have that stone unturned.
Right. They're feeling what was comfortable as a child. Abuse, if
mm-hmm.
abuse was comfortable, if put downs, if being told you're not worthy of love
mm-hmm.
and stop crying, you're too emotional. All those childhood messages are still running around our limbic brain and they trigger all of those. Yes, he yells, but that's what I'm comfortable with. My bar
right.
is set very low. Because I was never given the sense that I had worth to be loved and be safe and be respected. And when they start being abusive, when men in a relationship start being an abuser, and that's from emotional put downs to, you know, really serious physical abuse, that's how an insecure man bluffs an insecure woman into submission. It's
yeah.
all a bluff. They are not strong. These are weak men who need to put a woman down in order to lift themselves up. But an evolved, conscious man only will lift a woman up. I've had several posts on my Facebook page in the last 2 weeks about this. You can tell a secure man because he's secure with his woman. He doesn't even imagine ever putting her down. She is his equal. She is worthy of his respect, and that's how he treats her, and that's a prince. And he treats her like a queen. So,
and you know what? I think, sorry. I think it's so interesting, too, though, when you say that, is because a lot of people can disguise it and say that I'm not being abusive. Sort of you'll have a man say something like, my head's hurt some recently. Oh, one man had said to someone, let me know when you do something to be proud that I could be that to be proud of. And I'm going, you know, oh my gosh, did they say that? Or another man had said, what do you mean your job? You sit home all day. Or another man had said, what else did he say? Someone had just told me this a few weeks ago. They said, I know, the woman had said something, and the man said, don't you ever talk about my mother. And it was like, really? You know, and it was just the strangest things that you hear. But you really don't even realize that. I think when these women are hearing it, they don't realize it. But when they're repeating it afterwards is when it really starts to hit home, and they say, oh, now I understand, or oh, now I hear what's really going on, or maybe I'm now realizing that's not what I want to have around.
Right. Exactly. Even the Bible says there is no fear in love. That's why we crave love, because it feels like we've come home. And
right.
the minute this perfect man suddenly pulls the rug out from under you, I call it that first tug on the rug, you thought
mm-hmm.
you were standing on something solid, and all of a sudden you have the feeling you're walking on eggshells, that's your first red flag. And you can stay around for a whole lot more red flags, but they will escalate as long as you stay. But that first sense of, whoa, what just happened? That was not expected. That's that first tug on the rug. And you're on your way. He's not a prince, because a prince would never make you feel insecure, scared what's going to happen next. You know, I work with women that say, well, sometimes he comes home and he's really just the man I fell in love with, but other nights he comes home and it's scary, you know, and I just live for those times he comes home when he's loving me again. And I, you know, I work with them to say, let's look at this picture. You are on eggshells. He has the power and control to dictate how you feel.
Right.
You're giving him that power by staying in something that is not going to be consistent. It's something you can trust. You know, he's playing you, and you're allowing it. There is no fear in love. That's, you know, that's the key
and
question
also
when you're
too,
asking.
I think, you know, you said that comment about the eggshells. There's a lot of times when you might feel like you are walking on eggshells, but let's say you start to become empowered as a woman and you say something and the man might turn it around and say, I'm not going to walk around here on eggshells. And that is a red flag, because what they're really saying to you is that don't you dare change. This is what it is. Or that's not your place, that's not what you're able to do. And I think a lot of women, I could probably say better than 75%, have heard that somehow, some way in their entire life. Don't you think?
Oh, absolutely. And it is, you know, don't upset my balance of power and control over you, because that's what serves me to feel
right.
that I am strong because you are weak. And it's the bluff, again, of insecure men to keep women in, you know, insecure women in submissive relationships. And
let's also turn it around, too, because it can be for both. It could be women for men and men for women. I mean, so we need to really recognize that.
Mm-hmm.
Don't you think?
Yes, yes. My focus is working with women. I have worked with couples in the past. But because of my own journey and becoming aware of the power that I've always had inside of me, and I believe without a shadow of a doubt every woman has this power, that's my focus. I work with women in relationship issues. So when I speak, that's what it's about, you know, to really allow women to have a voice for their pain, because this world does want to silence us. And then to take them on the journey where they discover that power and that wisdom and the courage that is them. It's in every one of us. My story proves, because I could not have been more of a bimbo than I was, and you know, it was how I had been raised. It wasn't truth. It was just how I had been raised, and I've been free of that for a long time now. And you know, my sacred work is to take the hand of women and bring them out of that false belief system and really step in and own their power and their wisdom, their intuitive wisdom that does threaten men to this day.
What I have found is that sometimes on the path of women becoming empowered, it's going to take quite a while to bounce through all those old belief systems. And a lot of people, well, it's almost everybody, we always want to say, well, I'm comfortable this way, and that's not the words I should be using, and that's not me, and this is me. And in other words, we kind of might like to change the coat on the doll, as I would say, to not really to show the full imprint of who we really are. And finding out who we really are is not always pleasing to some people sometimes. Sometimes they'll say, that's not who I am. I've spent decades trying to be something else. Don't tell me I have to let all of that go. You know, so it is kind of a very difficult process. So when women are in this process, know that things all around can come up for both people if they're in a relationship. And it's just being able to get to the other side that's actually the best, you know, gift ever, you know, for both people, and then look at where they are.
Yes. I climbed out of my victimized life by myself, and I was, you know, in ICU with my quadriplegic son, having just divorced and found out I was penniless, and my whole life was falling apart. And I had to pull up that courage for the first time in him. And when I'm taking the hand of women in my counseling now, it's a very gentle journey. It's a very respectful, because I remember the panic, the loneliness, the whole thing. And I would just make a priority to always respect the process this woman's going through on her way to becoming who she really is. Because as long as we women live like denial divas, we're going to find the men that live in denial too. That's what we attract. Once we get real, like the Velveteen Rabbit, we will attract the real, conscious, evolved men who recognize the same in us that they have within themselves, whether their mothers gave them that initial programming in the first love of their lives, or if they have been, to me, the most courageous men on the planet, known that they were broken and have taken it upon themselves to go through the counseling, the process, to reinvite the brokenness of that early infancy toddler brain and become whole. And I'll tell you, I've watched that happen in men, and you talk about a phoenix rising. They break open the relief that they can finally breathe in the wholeness of who they truly are. Makes me cry. It is so powerful. And the same, we've seen that in women. When we get to that point where we're willing to break open and have all of the fear spill out and then start our healing, it's the most powerful action I've ever seen any of my clients go through. And I went through it myself.
You think that fear is the biggest rider in our life? You know, even actually the other day I was speaking to somebody, and I said, what is healthcare to you? And they gave me their dissertation on what they believed it was. And I said, isn't healthcare really, we're just going so that, number one, they will keep our machine, which is our body, going as long as we can. And second is that we will, we fear the messiness of death, so we are entrusting that they will prevent that. And I really find that, so in that way of looking at it, it really is, we run fear, the whole life. It's just, try to lessen your load and not carry so much of it.
Right. If again, in relationships, if you're feeling fear around your partner, that's your red flag, neon flashing light that you are not safe. He is willing to make choices that leave you unsafe, whether it's feeling it or he's, you know, directly, you know, hitting and all the other things they do.
Yeah.
You're responsible. And I know so many women are in those abusive marriages, especially, and feel they can't get out. And that's where we of the sisterhood need to see that in our sisters if they're in danger and support them however they allow us to get them out of the dangerous situation. That's where our sisterhood comes in. We're not alone in this. This is about all women in this world. And the fear piece is your first sign he's not worthy of you, because you deserve love, not fear. It's pretty basic.
And that looks so different to so many people. I think that that's just what keeps us, you know, going as humans and learning from each other around us. I mean, so many people have so many different things in life. They'll say, well, someone spoke to me nice, someone carried my bag for me, someone opened the door for me, someone bought my groceries for me, you know, someone took care of my kids or whatever it might be. And there are so many variances on that. It's just really up to us to decide what works for us, don't you think?
Yes, and to be wise, to be able to read the message that's the underlying message. What is the motivation of this person to buy my groceries? What is the motivation of this person to help me carry my groceries out to the car when I don't know this person? But women, we're so programmed to be nice. We want everybody to think we're nice. And there's a story in my book about, you know, a very accomplished businesswoman who was moving into her new condo for her new job and, you know, was struggling to get the boxes in the elevator. And this nicely dressed man came along and said he lived in the condo. Could he help her? And she had that tug in her tummy that, I don't like this, but I want him to think I'm nice, and certainly he's not dangerous. He's right here in my building, and he's dressed, you know, in a nice nice clothes. And an hour later, she's screaming into the night to the 911 operator, "I've been raped."
Wow.
I had an episode with what most of you recognize as Mayor Bob Filner of San Diego a couple years ago. I was the third woman to come out publicly on his assaulting and restraining me in a public place. He wasn't mayor then. He was a congressman. And we were meeting because he had taken my national initiative to make the priority of this country the well-being of our children. And he had just met with me. He's telling me across a booth that Michelle Obama wants me to write a memo as to how to break the cycle of domestic violence in our military families. I had waited 9 years for someone of his stature to say he could do this, and Michelle Obama was requesting this memo of me. And the next thing I knew, he got up and came over and trapped me in this booth in a public place. Unfortunately, no one else was around, and would not let me out until, as he said, just kiss me and I will. And you talk about a sociopath. Here I am, a woman who has taken her life from being a bimbo, educated herself to really get in touch with my power and rely on my power, and I'm meeting with a U.S. congressman in a public place talking about breaking the cycle of domestic violence, and next thing I know, I am being trapped, restrained. He's assaulting me. He's trying to move my head to kiss me. And afterwards, you know, I wrote a blog about this too, several of them, that if given all of that, I was still not safe. then what woman is safe in this country?
Mm-hmm.
We have become a narcissistic nation. And where men can go downtown at midnight, and buy whatever it is they're looking for or just cruise around town, nobody thinks twice about it. If you or I did that, our families, our friends would call us crazy.
Right.
So that brings the point that narcissistic men restrict our freedom as women to go about our lives the way that they go about their lives. We are restricted because of the level of narcissism, the level of danger in this country. And I have, in my research, I've walked through third world countries. I've walked through conscious first world nations and totally had the sense, I'm not in danger here. 24/7, I am in no danger here because of my gender. Nobody is thinking about raping, murdering, anything to me. America is unique in the level of violence against women and children. And my research says it's because of those first 3 years with those baby boys and mommy has to work or mommy is in school or whatever, but we forget that we're Homo sapiens and that Mother Nature set up a plan A, which is the only plan she has, for making these little narcissistic, sweet babies conscious and compassionate and empathetic. And that's by knowing the consistency of mother bonding when we're little guys. And I have some videos on my website that I explain this in a deeper level. But parents, especially mothers of sons, build that baby brain and wire it for peace or pathology by the third birthday. We know this now from the neuroscience and also anthropology. So we hold it in our hand. Women really do have the power to end domestic violence and narcissism by how we are committed to raising our babies in the way nature has programmed us to do. And, we look at dolphins, we look at elephants, we look at apes, we look at all of them. They don't leave their babies. They don't leave their babies. And that's our template. So
Good,
we have more
Morgan.
Power than we realize.
We've gone through this whole hour, and I just now noticed we're almost to the end of the show. Could you please share with the listeners? You have a lot of work, and we have about 4 minutes to do this. You could share about the other work that you do, your websites, how people could find out more about you. You have some programs about your book, and you do have things on YouTube. Can you share about all of that? And because I think that's very valuable so that people could find out more information.
Thank you. The site for my programs, counseling, etc., is theworthywoman.com. Theworthywoman.com. My book site is notabimbo.com, and you can go to that with the spelling notabimbo. This actual spelling on the book is a little fancier than that, but you'll get to that by going to notabimbo.com. And then the videos that explain a lot of the work I do with women and also this national initiative of mine called the America's Angel Campaign, those are all on the videos at theworthywoman.com. My blogs are on both sites. We have an amazing Facebook page called Not a Bimbo. Facebook.com, not a bimbo, and that is spelled NAUGHTA, B as in baby, I, M as in Mary, B as in baby, EAUX. I told you it was a little fancy spelling, but that's not a But the comments of women now, I have created a page where women can share their pain. I want to give women a voice because the media and our culture does everything they can to silence us. So I have created a place to bring the voice of women forward, and it is so validating. Now, the comments, women are commenting to each other. There's dialogues going on in the comments to my post, and it's thrilling to me to be able to have that kind of outreach to so many women. I never dreamt of having this kind of ability to really wake us up to our power and how wonderful we are, how precious we are, and what we deserve. We deserve to be cherished. We deserve to be respected. And it's up to us to raise our bar and expect nothing less from who we invite into our lives.
And, you know, I think that the first question a lot of women will say when they read some of your information on your website or on your blogs is, do you mean, their question they would say themselves is, do you mean that that's not right what he did? Or do you mean it's not right what he said? And someone will say, oh, well, you know, can I change that? And I hear that conversation all the time, and I'm sure you do too.
Yeah, good luck with changing a man. I mean, it does happen. I have counseled couples where it did happen, but it is so rare because, again, the man's psyche has built a wall around the pain of being what they feel rejected by their first love, their mommies.
Mm-hmm.
And that wall is thick, and it's just almost impossible for a man to have the kind of courage to be willing to go back and confront that. I'm like you and I talked about, we only have this moment. And if you're feeling scared, if you're feeling demeaned, if you're walking on those eggshells, do what you have to do to live the life you are worthy of. And it is your choice. It's not him. It's about you choosing the life that you deserve and the life you believe you are worthy of. I happen to believe every woman is worth a life beyond our dreams. And that's what I encourage women to think about. How worthy are you? Ignoring all those messages you got as a little girl and from the lover you have now, the lovers you've had before, that is bluff. That is not the truth. That is not the truth. And to get women out of that sense of denial and start living the truth of who they really are.
Well, goodness, Morgan, it was a pleasure to have you with us today. It was a great conversation, and I encourage the listeners to please do check out Morgan's website. It is on the bottom of today's show page. You'll click there and go directly to her website, theworthywoman.com. Morgan, thank you so much for joining us today. It's been an absolute pleasure.
Thank you. I couldn't agree more, Jeanette. Thank you so much.
Thank you, and have a wonderful day.
You too. Bye-bye.
If you'd like to find out more information about Morgan Rose, again, she...
Thank you today here on Alternative Medicine and Wellness. It has been a pleasure to be with you, and we hope you found more information that will be able to make your life just a little bit easier. You know, it's not an easy trip all the time in this life, and sometimes we say, you know, if I could just maybe hear it from somebody else, or maybe hear that someone else's story might be similar to mine, or maybe just gain a few extra tips to make my journey a little bit easier. Please join us on Health Blast Radio every day for the year 2015, where we will be having so many different practitioners, all kinds of authors, just regular people like you and I, having a casual conversation about a different topic almost every day. Check out our website for more information on the Women Over Age 50 group. It is drjeanettegallagher.com. You can always just Google my name, Dr. Jeanette Gallagher, and you will find out so much more information about upcoming radio shows, about other websites I have, other programs we are currently doing. And if you just need help, please pick any of the websites, any of the links, and send me a private message. Thank you so much for joining us today on Health Blast Radio. It's been an absolute pleasure, and please, just in the morning, before you reach for that cell phone, or the television remote, or even your glasses, open your eyes and say, thank you, God, for another day. It's been a pleasure. And have a great day.